Today I'm going to talk about biblical worship. This has always been on my heart to talk about worship. You're going to hear someone who doesn't worship on stage talk about worship. And if that offends some people, some of you online, good. It's good. Good. I like this quote that I heard. When you offend the mind, you reveal the heart. Oh, gum? Oh, sorry. Is it loud?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I gotta muscle up the courage to swallow. Because I just put it in my mouth and it's like fresh mint. Oh. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend you guys already. So, let's talk about biblical worship today. Let's open our Bibles, if you have them, to Genesis chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 1. My lovely assistant, do we have that up on the screen? Can we lower it a little bit? All right, take your time. We're all flipping. You know, you're going to hear. Oh, is that it? Okay, that's fine. Round of applause to our lyric person. They did this last second, so I don't blame them. I'll probably make something more prettier next time. But thank you, Elizabeth. Love you, girl. All right, so chapter 4, verse 1, okay? Are we ready? Are we there yet? Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? So there are two factors here. When it came time to give the Lord offerings, there were two offerings, right? Cain was a farmer, I guess you can say, tiller of the ground. I guess you can call that a farmer. And Abel was a shepherd or keeper of sheep. You see, why did God accept Abel's offering but rejected Cain's offering? You see, I see this story as an act of worship, like one of the earliest forms and counts of worship. Why? Because when both brothers were offering things to God, what separated one from the other, which God gave blessing to one and not to the other, was one thing, and that's cost. You see, Cain probably had a big field, lots of vegetation, right? And when it came to offer God something, he just went like, here you go. But Abel responded differently. He gave the firstborn of his flock and of its fat, meaning the first fruits of his labor as a shepherd. It cost him something, right? Oftentimes in places of worship, what moves God's heart is the fragrance of cost, right? I would boil down in one aspect of worship, identify it as what it costs you. Right? To worship God in a meaningful way is to give up something that stings a little bit, right? It's got a sting. For example, when Solomon, before he received wisdom from the Lord, he gave a 1,000 bull offering to the Lord. That will make some vegan skin crawl for sure. That's a lot of meat, okay? It doesn't matter if you're a king or not, that's a lot of meat, right? And in the night, God appeared to him in a dream and gave him a question. What do you ask? What do you want? You see, there was an action that transcribed that gained Solomon God's attention, that gained his, he gained the eyes of God in his situation and asked him, anything, say anything, I'll give it to you. And that's how we know Solomon to be wise, because he identified the reality that God deserves everything. The most that you can possibly bring, this is what God truly deserves. So when you give an offering, it's important to root it in faith. You see, the tensions between worship and faith will always be the cost. You see, because we recognize in Hebrews chapter 11 that you cannot please God without faith. And faith without works, this isn't in Hebrews, is dead. So obviously there is an action that is required, but God looks at the heart. See, when you give something to God, whether it's money, your time, your problems, and in the scope of worship, right? Especially in worship. But what I'm talking about in a literal sense, biblical worship, isn't just when the music turns on, the instruments are being played, and the lights go low. No, worship, we cannot reduce worship to a time, a specific time, and in a specific place, in a specific gathering. No, it is a outpouring of what is truly lies inside of us that comes out. Whether you go out on the street and you are just overwhelmed with compassion for the needy, for the lost, right? And the actions that come after that, that is worship right there, is the response. You see, how are you responding to the Lord and his goodness? Are you responding 10% or are you responding 100%? Growing up, I was always told and always taught in my teenage years by my father to always give your 100% to God, right? This isn't a tithing doctrine. This isn't like whatever that. It's your 100%, your everything. You see, what I want to highlight in this message is, what is your 100%? Like, look deep within yourself, within all that you are, and ask yourself, what is my 100% to God? Is it the first time, you know, when I wake up, do I go on this? Or do I go on this? See, it starts off small. It's very, very easy to identify, but oftentimes we ignore it. But when we get filled with conviction of like, I wake up in the morning and the first 2 hours are soaked in this, I feel bad. And then shame starts to creep in. I feel guilty. I feel wrong. I feel dirty. Right? More often than not, we like to confuse these two factors, conviction and shame. We kind of like blur, the line between those two is very blurry. And especially for those who don't really know God truthfully and fully. Because the Holy Spirit, when he approaches you in whatever you're going through, oftentimes we feel conviction, especially when it comes to correction. Conviction is good, ladies and gentlemen. Conviction is a beautiful thing that the Lord gives us, that in a tool that he uses to correct us. Because shame, what shame does is it tells you you're worthless. Shame says you should feel horrible about what you've done. You should feel terrible about how you're wasting your precious time. Look at you, you're a leader and you're doing this and you're telling people to get off of it. Ew, who are you? See, that's shame. Conviction tells you this. Hey, my beloved son, my beloved daughter, I made you for great things. I made you to do amazing things in your life. And I will always be there with you. And this, you're better than this. you're so much better than this because I created you. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. You see, which one of the two sounds better? It's very easy to see it like that. But when it comes to our own self, when we're alone, the devil does what the devil does, guys. He accuses. The Lord made it very clear to call out the enemy and to name him the specific name that he is and he always will be, the accuser of the brethren. This is what he does. He accuses. He lies to you. The devil knows God is a perfect and all-powerful God, but he wants to confuse you to believe otherwise. He accuses, okay? What does this have to do with worship? When we involve ourselves in the equation, in the process of worship, that's what makes worshiping God so difficult. Is when we get in the way with all of our issues, all of our problems, but it's time we identify God as a God who's bigger than our sins, bigger than our transgressions, bigger than what we did last night, what we did last week, the things that I have looked at. He is bigger than all of these things. Modern day Christian theology is sin big, God little. Big sin, little God. That's a lot of modern day Christianity when it comes to scrolling and feeling ashamed and feeling guilty and feeling the weight of sin, yet trying to deal with it outside of God's love and his perfection and the cross, right? That's what makes it so hard because we're alone in this. We're willingly choosing to battle this outside of his kingdom. It's that simple. But when we truly worship God, when we worship him, not just in a song, not in just our favorite little worship song, you know, our favorite circuit riders, Forrest Frank, whatever. Like when we truly worship him with our heart posture, we look at ourselves as a whole. I am a sinner saved by grace. Wash me white as snow, King Jesus. Your blood will always speak a better word, no matter what. Because the work is finished, it's done. And all we have to do is die to ourselves regularly. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I'll read it to you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I love what he says this. This is your true and proper worship. As the living sacrifice. You see, earlier in the Old Testament, God's fed up with all of these burnt offerings and all of these things. He's like, I've had enough of it, right? And then that was in the past. Now in the present, here we are the living sacrifice. Everything we do daily, that's worship. That's worship. It's everything that comes out of you. Your worship is your response to the revelation of the love of God. Everything you do, worship is everything, okay? Worship isn't a sermon. It's not somebody's theology, their idea of their translation of scripture and doctrine. No, worship is locking eyes with Jesus, spending personal time because God is a personal God. And I really, really, really love how God sees the importance of being the first. You see, it says in the Old Testament, do not worship any other idols, right? God first, always, right? Because he is first. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, right? When he has the first place in your heart, living your life close to him becomes so easy. Why? Because when you look out there, right across the street, a little few blocks down, you see the influence of what it looks like when God is not first. That's why there's so much bad things in this world, because it's very common for us, even as Christians, you know, even as people who come here on a weekly basis, myself included, to kind of mix in and put other things before God. It can be very easy to fall into that, but without the proper steps, without proper discipline, without a true encounter with God. Not just like, you know, he shows you something for the first time, but when you respond out of that first encounter, that first love, right? Because your response means everything to him. And whatever you give him, he gives back. You see, like, I want to, like, bring in tithing as an example, all right? Like, we worship God with our money, too. You know that? Like, it's a very easy principle to grasp when you really look at it the way God intended. Because when Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters, right? Who remembers that verse? And then and at the end of that verse, he says, you cannot serve God and money. Why did Jesus put God and money next to each other in the same sentence? Because if you really look at it, money, if you were to have all the money in the world, right, and you had no lack, no, you had all the provision, it is a counterfeit God. It is a counterfeit version of the living God, because you have everything taken care of, you're at peace, you don't have to worry, you have to do this, when you have all of these things, right? However, God does not operate through the wealth in people's pockets, because I can have all the money in the world, but that doesn't make me the best preacher in this house. I can have all the money in the world, but that does not make me the greatest worshiper, you know, person worshiping back here. Yeah, my music might sound better because I have all of this expensive equipment and I might be a good musician, but as a worshiper, worshiping God with all of my heart, money will get in the way with that. It will just get in the way. So when we, like, tithe as an example, right? It is stripping off those layers of self-preservation that I need this to survive. I need this to live. No, you need Jesus, okay? You need Jesus, not dollar signs. You don't need money in your pocket. You don't need to look at your bank account just to feel good about yourself. Like, I don't know who this is for, but this is probably for somebody here. If you're listening, be blessed, okay? Love you. Mwah. So, like, tithing is a perfect example. And if you, when we give God according to how we see him, he gives according to how he sees us. See, the measure of our blessings in our lives is weighed and dependent on the offerings that we bring to him. If I want more blessings, I got to give it all. I got to give it up. Give it all away. Whatever's holding me down, whatever's tying me down. The more you give to God, the more you will receive. It's not a transaction, okay? It's not like a business deal. God's not a business partner, okay? Second Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. We'll go a different direction. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was wearing a linen ephod, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. So there goes David doing what he does best, giving it all up to Jesus, giving it all up to God, right? Sometimes worshiping the Lord comes at the cost of our dignity, and that's a good thing, right? If you are a person who really likes to live in the reality of self-preservation, like when God comes to you and demands a response, right? Like a command, a celebration, right? And you withhold yourself because of someone in the room or someone else who's watching and you're worried about what they might think, that's an idol right there. Very simple. Very easy, but worship will always come at a cost, okay? Because faith without works is dead. Remember that. We worship in faith and we worship in truth. It has to cost you something, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, you can worship him and you'll feel great. You will feel amazing. But if you want to maximize blessings in your life, if you want to maximize blessings in your life, it's going to have to come at a cost. And it only really truly begins when we're touched by God, like truly, truly, like speaking, like when you experience love for the first time in your life, like true love, all bets are off. All bets are off. Like you don't care anymore. Like you don't care what people are saying, what people are thinking. Like you just, all you want to do is love this person. You want to make them happy. You want to give them everything you possibly can. You see, and that's worship. In a biblical sense, yes, it will cost you something. However, it's always important to be rooted in faith, whatever your offering is. Just remember, less of me and more of you. I love this phrase. I love it. It's so important that we understand that worship will never be about us. Like it's like we all have issues. We all have things we're going through, and it can be very tempting in the space of worship to kind of like, not like, I guess you can say ask or maybe even demand God to like take things from you. You know, I like to imagine that as like prayer time, you know, when you spend time with God and you just let it out, you know. But when we worship, it's not about us. It never will be. Because in the presence of God, everything melts. It's like all your problems, all your family drama, your work drama, the pressure of not feeling good enough, not doing enough, like it pales in comparison in the presence of God. And when we're in that place, that's where we belong. I like to really, really think about this as our home is in his presence. And when we get to heaven, that's really all it is, you know? And it might, to some, you know, people who are hearing this for the first time, can sound repetitive, maybe even boring. But when you're faced with someone who knows you so much and loves you so much that they know everything you're thinking, they know everything you will think of, and all they want to do is show you more and more of themselves and how they made you, why they made you, why they love you, how they loved you, and all the things in your life. Because in every area of your life, I can bet my bottom dollar, if you really, really close your eyes and imagine every scenario in your life and you put God right next to it, you can see how God came through miraculously and did what he did to bring you here, to bring you closer to him. Because it's all about him. It always will be, and it always has been. I love this. Like, worship, it's a response. How are you responding to the one true living God is my question. And this isn't like a jab or anything. I don't want to like, yeah, if I convict people, if I offend people, like I'm not scared of that. But please understand my heart. I really love you guys. Like I really love you guys. And for maybe a few people watching online, it's really important to ask ourselves these tough questions, you know, because if we don't, then God will start asking us these questions. If you don't bring up sensitive topics, sensitive conversations, and just like, oh, I'll wait till later, you're just going to explode. You're going to be just this tense ball of like anxiety and stress. And just like one person says one thing, you just set off and you explode. No, it's important in times of worship and in prayer to just give God everything. See, it's not about your money. It's not about, God does not need your money. God does not need your time. He does not need your speech, your fancy words. He just wants you. Plain and simple. We think, like, I used to think that, like, if I wanted to get into worship and pray to God, I had to first, like, come to the altar and just, like, repent before I get into any of the good stuff. And then once I've finished repenting, I have to take an account for all the things that I've done and to just, like, make them hurt me because, like, I hurt people. I've said things that are hurtful. And I have to, like, live with the consequences, and it just, like, sticks to my soul. But Jesus takes all of that weight. He if you throw it away in the trash, you're going to end up looking and start digging through that trash again. You're going to keep digging through it. But what Jesus wants you to do is to just give it to him. He'll dispose of it properly. Like, he will properly dispose of all of your baggage, all of your issues, everything that you're going through. He will properly take care of it. Right? But here we are to think that we can do it all by ourselves. We can do it all on our own. And then we wonder why our life sucks. It's very simple. So before I wrap up, just some simple questions, guys. Simple, easy to digest questions. What will you give God? Will you give him 10% or will you give him 100%? And if you want to give him 100%, ask yourself, what does that look like? It doesn't have to be when lights are turned low and the instruments are playing. It could be at any time of the day. It could be at any moment. It could be at work. It could be while you're driving, right? Like, I am an advocate for giving Jesus the first place and giving him time of worship, right? Sometimes I get really busy, you know, but I don't like to think of myself as a busy person. I don't. I don't believe in being too busy, you know. That doesn't exist in my world. However, if I catch myself in that space, I will surrender whatever time that I have, whether it's a 30-minute drive, and I will just strictly listen to worship music, and I will think about nothing else but the word, but of God, and I will just give him thanks and praise. It could be as simple as 15 minutes, you know? It could be as simple as, for some people, maybe that's not enough. Maybe it's 30 minutes, an hour. Like, wherever you're at, God sees your efforts. He sees your 100%. Right? What can kill that 100% of yours is when you compare, right? The quickest way to kill something is to compare it to something else, whether it's a person, whether it's a gift you have, whether it's the clothes that you have, right? Whether it's the identity that you carry that God has given you, and you just toss it like garbage and compare it to other people. And then God's like, what the heck, man? Are you kidding me? I made this just for you. There's no one else that can have this except you. And you're just going to, what? That easy. Just lay it all down. Just give it up. Just stick him up and just let him do what he needs to do. This has been a message on my heart for a few years. I remember my first time going to ministry school way back in 2020. About 5 years ago, I know it's been a while, and going from like our worship sets back then to a worship set like going like when you go to Bethel, you know, you listen to Bethel music and it's like, oh, it's the best, you know, and it's so loud and it's so like the music is so like so blissful, and then being there for 3 years, it made me think that, oh, this is it right here. This is worship. And then when I would come back, I'd be like, and I would listen to the worship here, and I'd be like, I was like a little wine taster, like, a little bit of this, you know, ooh, a little bit of that. Ooh, the presence of God is so good here, but over here needs a little bit more, here, this. It's like, and I remember God just like, what? And that's where I got so convicted, and God spoke to me. There is one group of people in all the earth that saw God and missed him, and that was the Pharisees. And I was like God was telling me, stop being a Pharisee. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And now it's like, worship isn't a song. It's like the love that you have for God, the love that he's put in you, and the response that you give him, right? It's, worship is so simple. It's as easy as like, Lord Jesus, I receive your love. I receive everything that you've done for me. I thank you for the cross. I recognize its power. And Lord, once you get to that place of receiving his love, because first of all, he loves you and he has always loved you before you could have even been given the chance to love him back. So he loved you first, right? And then from that place, you just give him everything. You give him what he deserves. Whatever it is in your mind, in your heart, that you believe that God deserves from you, as like a personal gift, right? It's like a little, like for parents, you know, like you have a little child and they're like, here's this little drawing I have that I made for you, you know? And it's like a bunch of scribbles and whatever. And then like, that's how God sees us. And he's like, oh, thank you. And then you put that on the fridge. You know, slap a magnet on it, and then boom. It's like the prized jewel of the house, right? It's messy. It's like a little, like, you know, smeared. Like, what, you're like, what even is that? But because of the heart that was the heart posture of that, that was in the making, you receive that as like, oh, they love me. Like, imagine how God feels when you truly like look at him righteously and fully as the slain and risen king, the one who paid it all in full for you to be close to him, and you're like saying yes to that. It's like, oh, I can only imagine, right? But that's all we have to do is just give him like little messy, messed up drawings or whatever, and he's just gonna love it forever, forever and ever and ever. It's so beautiful. Second question, what does God want you to give up? Like, if there's something, if you're looking at your heart, if you're looking at your life and you're realizing like, man, I've been giving, maybe you've been giving God like 90%, right? What about that 10%? What is that 10% that you're withholding, that you're holding back? You see, like, growing up, I had this this ridiculous addiction to playing video games. It was really bad. Like, I would say that I love my parents. I love you, Mom, and wherever Dad is. However, looking at my life as an adult, I realized that I had a lot of freedom. I could do whatever I want, however long I wanted. And yeah, I would have parents, you know, busting out the door, get off, you know. But like, I was a sneaky kid. I would always sneak in the Game Boy underneath the bed sheets, you know, the DS underneath. And then like, when Mom would come through the door, I'm like, pretend like I'm sleeping, you know. I think we all share that experience in some way. But it really like, really messed up my life, because it gave me something that I wasn't quite ready for yet. Feeling like, oh, this is the greatest feeling in the world. I feel so good. I feel so accepted. This makes me feel so warm and fuzzy and all of these amazing things. Something that the place that God should have, but I gave it to something else. I gave the place that God belongs to something else. And year after years after years, I always understood that in order to really like be one with Christ, you'd have to be one with Christ, meaning purely, fully, and nothing else, right? Pure, like one with God. What is purity? It's without mixture. So you cannot mix these things with God, because then it's not a pure love. It's mixed with something else. And even if it's so innocent, even if it's like 2%, right? That's enough, because that wandering eye will always think like, oh, what about that? What about that? You know? So what is it that God is asking you to lay down? For me, it was that. It was addiction. I withheld myself from God because I knew I had to give up my addiction. But I didn't fully know how loving and how powerful God's love was. All I knew was all of this: video games, pornography, like lust. That's all I knew, and it was like a immediate example for me. But I had yet to taste the love of God. And when you taste the love of God, like 100%, all bets are off. You realize that all of this crap that you've been, excuse my language, that you've been doing, it amounts to nothing. It will cease to a miserable end. And if you don't realize that, then you're going to reach a dead end in your life, maybe in your mid-20s, late 20s, maybe even in your 30s, God forbid your 40s, you're going to reach that dead end for what it is, a dead end, and then you're going to realize this was nothing, and now you're going to have to get up, go all the way back to the very beginning, and start your life all over again, to then realize that it has always been about God, that God has always been there for me, yet I was so, like, such a dumb, and I didn't, like, lock in. See, that was me. Like, I love pastoring kids because I give the opportunity to give them the life that I wish I had. Like, man, to be on fire for God at like 12, 13, like, this is the most beautiful thing. I didn't really, like, truly, truly surrender my life to God until, like, gosh, like my 20s, early 20s, like 20, 21. That was like, I was like in ministry school. I'm like, at some point, I'm like, why am I even doing this? Oh my gosh. Like, and then I realized, like, oh, this is why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this for anybody else. I'm doing this for me and for my life with God that's waiting for me. So God's going to ask you to give something up. You know, how long are you going to wait? How long is it going to take for you to give that up? Whatever it is, whether it's possessions, your love for material wealth, whether it's that person that you've been told that you shouldn't be with, but you're choosing to just chase the feelings, you know, instead of reality. You're choosing to see green flags instead of all the red flags that are clearly laid out in front of you, you know? Like, when are you going to lay it down? God's asking you. Is it now, or is it going to be 5, 10 years later, you know? What is your freedom worth to you? Is it worth everything, or is it eh? It's that simple. Like, yeah, this may convict some people, but that's a good thing. Conviction is good because God loves you and He has something really good for you. And that's how we give Him something that costs something. Because if it doesn't cost us anything, then it'll be like Cable's story, you know? There won't be anything for us on the other side besides bitterness, resentment, jealousy, anger. Because I will always remember growing up at those conferences where, the, you know, people are all lined up and I'm like asking God, like, to touch me, to do something, because I'm like, my belief was crumbling. My faith was crumbling like those like granola bars, you know. It's like, just a mess. And then the person right next to me, like, gets wrecked. And I'm like, why? Because you look at Cain and Abel. One offering cost something and one didn't. You see, that 10% that was in my heart that was not surrendered to God, that's what kept me away for so long. That's what made me lost for so many years. And when I decided to give it up, because what one of the fears was being exposed, being ashamed, feeling like I was nothing, fear of having everything taken away from me, all my privileges, all of my benefits, you know, of being here, you know, all of these things. But I said, screw that. My freedom is worth more than that. Like, I love Jesus. I want Jesus more than I want freedom from addiction. I want Jesus more than to be a somebody. I just want Jesus more than anything. You see? And when we respond out of that, it's usually when we give something up. You know? That thing that you're dealing with, whatever you're holding on to, the false identity that's been spoken over you, you know, whether someone's telling you you're a boy or a girl, you know, you give that up. It's like, say, no, I want only what God wants, you know. Biblical worship looks like putting his needs and his wants and desires before your own. Because when we put our wants and desires before God's desires, that's where worship becomes difficult. That's where you can just stand, you know, in front of your seat and you're just like, why is nothing happening? Well, why aren't they playing hard enough? Come on, guys, string the guitar, play, hit those drums, hit those keys. Come on. No, don't let the worship team worship for you, right? Don't let them worship for you. Don't let the rocks cry out in your name. Don't. It's all about him. And when the sooner we grasp that, the easier it is to step into the presence of God, because it's less of me and more of him. Stepping into the presence of God. It doesn't matter if you're coming to church late and you missed like two or maybe even one or two songs, you know, when you truly identify the place where you belong and how wonderful God is, you just step right in. Boom. You go from the first to the second and to the Holy of Holies right there. Boom. It's that, like, when we strip away, but that happens over a period of time when we strip away ourselves, when we become less and less of who we want to be and more of who he wants us to be. See if I got anything else for you guys. I know the weather is good. I don't want to hold you too long. Let's all stand. Let's all just close our eyes right now. You know, to be a true worshiper of God, to be someone who truly worships the King, you don't have to play an instrument. Because I promise you, whether you're on stage or you're not on the stage, we're all doing the same thing. But don't get me wrong. Those who worship on the stage, they get those extra crowns for sure, all right? Because it's a privilege and an honor. But what do we all do with those crowns? We cast them. So it always comes back to him. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your finished work. I thank you that we don't have to worship you, but we get to worship you. That you placed the privilege to even speak about your holy name right before us, and you give us full access and permission towards yourself. I thank you, Jesus, that the weight of perfection is not on us. I thank you, Jesus, that the pressure is on you and the presence is on us. Holy Spirit, teach us to be true worshipers, to worship your mighty name truthfully and in faith. Just want a moment of silence right now. If God is on your heart right now, if there is something he wants you to give up and he wants you to throw on the altar, all eyes closed. If there's anything that you've been carrying for so long, yet you've been waiting for the right time to give it up, right now, I want to tell you that God wants you to give it up right now. That he's saying this is the time. So if that's you, please come up to the front. And I don't want anyone to lay hands on them. I want this to be a one-on-one time. I want whoever you are
to come up to the front and just allow the Holy Spirit to show you what he wants to show you, to submit your wants, your desires to his kingdom. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you're doing here in this place. I thank you for the faith that you are stirring up. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Just a few more moments. Thank you, King. We're not in a hurry. We're not in a rush. You are all that we want, King Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are holy. You are wonderful. You are marvelous in every way. Spirit, teach us what it means to give a costly offering, Lord, to give a costly fragrance, to break it at your feet, Jesus. Teach us what it means, Holy Spirit. Teach us how to worship undignified, to worship your name fully, to not care anymore about what others see, what others might say, as we recognize, Jesus, that when we come to you, you always come to us, and all bets are off. I can rest assured that you will be with me for all my days, and that when I call upon your name, Jesus, you are always right there with me, and you have always been. Jesus. We worship you in faith and in truth and in love, as we recognize that all things come from you, because you are all things good, and you will continue to be all things that are good in this world for all the rest of our days and for all eternity. It's all about you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, teach us to be like living sacrifices, Lord. Teach us to be a willing sacrifice, Lord, without question, without hesitation, that we jump into the fire with you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And all his people said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's it. If you want free coffee, I got some for you. If you want to pay for your coffee, if you want to give a generous offering to the Lord and to those baristas in there, please feel free to do so. Have a good week. Enjoy. We got Thanksgiving coming up. We got Christmas coming up. Good things are coming. Love you guys. See you next week.